We continue our study in prison experiences. So we're going to look tonight, turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 12. You think of prison and being in prison, you think of someone being a criminal, committing a crime, and therefore they're incarcerated. As we look at these different prison experiences, that is not always the case. And this is one of those that we're looking at here this afternoon. This afternoon we're looking at the prison of God's power. Just a way of review before we get into the 12th chapter here. Point number one, some thoughts about the early days of the New Testament church. The New Testament church witnessed the power of God's moving in miraculous ways. The church started off with just enormous power from on high and impacting the lives of literally thousands of people. For example, number one, 3,000 people were saved on one occasion, and that's when Peter preached in Acts chapter 2. And then in Acts chapter 4, Peter and John were sharing the truth of the gospel, and 5,000 people were saved on another occasion. So we have this enormous amount of people getting saved, and God just continues to bless the church. So it started off by seeing the witnessing power of God's movement. B, the early church was marked by its manifest presence and power of God. Not only did it experience it in miraculous ways, but the power of God was continually on the New Testament church as it began. Number one, he was with them to such a degree that fear came up on all the people. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse number 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. So we see that this movement of the Holy Spirit and God continually being involved in the ministry of that local church, it impacted the people that were in the church as well as those that were influenced by what was happening. Also, we see, secondly, that God's power and presence produced peace and harmony in the church. Verse 42 through 47, let's go, we drop down. We find that there was great fear in every soul. Verse 43, many wonders and signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common, sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat the meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So they experienced this peace and harmony that only God can give. Third, souls were being saved on a daily basis, as we saw in verse 47. So the people were excited. They were busy and holy. The church was growing. God was glorified. Jesus was being preached, and sinners were being saved. And that's what was happening when the New Testament church had its beginning. Point C, not everyone was pleased. We see that the Jews hated the early church, the unbelieving Jews that would not accept Jesus as Messiah. They hated the early church because the church preached that Jesus was the Messiah. Secondly, the church preached that Jesus had been killed by the Jews and that he had risen from the dead. And this just rubbed them the wrong way. Third, the Jews hated the message of the gospel because so many Jews were turning from Judaism to Christianity. Look over in Acts 19 and verse 6. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for a space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by a space of 2 years, so that all they which were in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So the Jews that did not believe hated the message of the gospel. But still, the church was experiencing the power of God, the salvation of souls, and the changing of lives. Because they hated the gospel and they hated the New Testament church, point four, the Jewish leaders had tried arresting the apostles and forbidding them to preach the gospel. And that's in Acts chapter 4, verse 1 to 23. That did not work. So they arrested Stephen, and they put him on trial and stoned him to death. In Acts chapter 6 through Acts chapter 7. B, they failed to achieve their desired results. Thus, they continued their efforts to try to stop the spread of the gospel of Jesus Christ. C, they used men like Saul of Tarsus, but he wound up getting saved. D, the persecution led to the saints and many members of the church being scattered throughout the earth. And that's in chapter 8, verse number 1. And that's under Paul's persecution before he became a believer. E, still the church continued to grow and prosper. So here you have a New Testament church started by the Lord using the ministry of the apostles. Thousands of people come to Christ. They didn't have a church building like we have. They met in little groups here and there in homes mainly. And they would gather in the synagogue and talk about the Lord as much as they could and get away with it in the synagogue. So, but you had these thousands of people, and the gospel was being spread. They're telling other people about what's happened to them and what's happening in the masses, and souls are getting saved. And this is in the Jewish community. In the Jewish community. This is before it spreads to the Gentiles. But yet in all that wonder and wonderful thing that is taking place, there's a lot of trouble being stirred up, a lot of dislike, a lot of unhappiness. And it goes down through the ranks. Some even lose their lives for the cause of Christ, become martyrs. And because of their martyrdom, it seems like it just ignites a fire of more people getting saved. Which brings us to where we are in chapter 12. And we come to Peter's prison of God's power. Verse number 1, now about that time Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex or to harass certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword, or had him killed. So we find here, point A, Herod seeking the favor of the Jews, arrested James, the brother of John, and had him executed. Then verse 3, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to 4 squadrons of soldiers to keep him. I mean, this really bad criminal has to have extra security. So he put him within 4 squadrons of soldiers, and he kept him in prison, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people and to execute him. Go to verse 5. But Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. So we find point B, when he saw this please the Jews, Herod saw it taking James and executing him please the Jews, he arrested Peter and he planned to kill him also. Some notes about that. Peter's in prison. But one, Peter was in prison through no fault of his own, but because he preached the gospel. Two, he was living right, walking with God, preaching Jesus as the only way to eternal life. Three, people who live for the Lord are told that they are going to have their own tests and trials. John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you might have peace. You will have suffering in this world. Be courageous. I have conquered the world. 2 Timothy 3:12, yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So here is this man in prison, not because of his wrongdoing or breaking the law, but because he's preaching the gospel and doing what is right. That's where we find him, in prison. Point C, in that prison, Peter experienced the power of God in some wonderful ways. And I'll say this, he would have not experienced this power of God in any other place, but in prison. One, Peter experienced God's power in God's peace. Verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. So we see here, point A, that he was scheduled to be tried and executed the very next morning. But what's Peter doing? Now he's in prison of no fault of his own. What's he doing? He was sleeping in the prison cell like a little baby. He was experiencing the peace of God's power. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I wonder if Peter was reminded by the Holy Spirit of having heard Jesus say that to him. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I wonder if this is what Peter's doing. Now, he hadn't read this. This is Paul writing. But I wonder if what he knows and his experience he's had with the Lord and seeing God use him and seeing these massive amounts of people come to Christ and seeing the power of God being exhibited and knowing that he's been serving the Lord, knowing that he's not in a good spot right now, but it's not by his own fault. He's in prison, but he's there by the will of God. And so he can lay his head down and go to sleep. We see in verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. Secondly, Peter experienced God's power in his presence. Now, Peter's been asleep. He went to sleep without the angel. He went to sleep because probably he's tired. And secondly, he's at peace with God and is experiencing the presence of God with him at that point. But we see here that he goes to sleep. Now, remembering, A, Peter was in prison surrounded by 16 soldiers. And he was sleeping between two of them to whom he was chained. So just get a mental picture here. Here's all these guards, four quadrants, that's 16 soldiers, and they're all around Peter. It'd be kind of hard to sleep when you got all these guards around you, guarding you, waiting for you to make the wrong move. I mean, what's he going to do? He's chained. He's chained to two guards. What can he do to escape? But yet they're there. It's just their presence would be annoying, you know? It would just be enough to keep you awake. And then he lays down, and he's got these chains attached to him, and he's chained to these two soldiers. They're probably laying down too, trying to get a little rest. Maybe they shifted out during the night, and different guards took different places, but I don't know. But he's chained. It's not a good position for sleeping. But Peter didn't have any problem in going to sleep. Maybe he's one of those guys he could sleep anywhere. I don't know. But he says where he is. He's in prison, chained. B, in that mix, we find an angel from the Lord appearing in prison in radiance. Notice what happens. There was a light shining in the prison. He smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. So we see here in this mix of things, this angel appears and this bright light shines. And the things that transpire, one, the prison is locked securely. The guards are on duty and awake. Nothing and no one was able to stop the entrance of this angel into the prison. And the angel was on a mission, and that was to minister to Peter. So in this horrible setting in which Peter finds himself, he experiences the presence and the power of God. In the prison. He had to be in the prison to experience this. He had to be there for God to minister to him in this unique way, and it couldn't have been done in any other place than in the prison. We find also in verse 7 through 11, point 3, Peter experienced God's power in his providence. Verse 10, when they were past the first and the second ward, or the second guard's post, they came upon the iron gate that leadeth unto the city, divide the city from the prison, and it opened to them of its own accord. Nothing, no one touched it. The gates just open right up. So they opened of their own accord. They went out, passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, I like that. What just happened, you know? I mean, he's just there for the ride, if you may say that. He's just there, okay, you know, what choice do I have here? But now that it's kind of calmed down a little bit, and here's Peter standing out in the street in the nighttime, nobody else around, just Peter. When he had come to this place of coming to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." He didn't know that until after this has all taken place. Let's go back to our notes. Peter experienced point 3, God's power in his providence. A, the angel awakened Peter from his sleep. I mean, the angel had to go over and kick him in the side. You know, "Wake up, Peter." The angel commanded Peter to get up. And when he did, the chains fell off of Peter. Peter got up, as the angel told him. C, the angel commanded Peter to get dressed, and he did. "Put your clothes on, Peter." The angel didn't dress him. Peter can do that. Peter couldn't make the chains fall off, but Peter could dress himself. D, the angel commanded Peter to wrap himself in his cloak, and he did. "Wrap yourself up, Peter. We're getting ready to leave. Put your coat on." D, the angel commanded Peter to follow him, and Peter did. Peter has 2 feet. They're working well. He's put his clothes on. He's put his sandals on. He's ready to walk. The angel didn't carry him. Peter can walk on his own 2 feet, and he did. Then E, the angel led Peter right out of the prison without any incident. They went past 2 guard posts. Then they came to the gate that locks the prison, or the walls there and the entrance, and it just opened right up, and Peter went out. You'll notice here there were certain things that Peter couldn't do that the providence of God did. But there were certain things that Peter could do that he was expected to do. He was expected to put his own clothes on. He was expected to wrap himself in his cloak. He was expected to follow the angel, and he did all those things. But what he couldn't do in being locked in the chains and get out of the prison, the angel did that for him. That wouldn't have happened. Peter would have never, ever had this experience had he not been in prison. Think about that. Man, after doing what Peter could not do, the angel departed from him. Peter couldn't get himself out of prison, so the angel did it, and then Peter was there and needed the angel no more, so the angel departed. 5, Peter suddenly realized that he had had a unique encounter with God. I love what it says there. When Peter was come to himself, in verse 9, he thought he saw a vision. He thought he was dreaming. You ever have one of those dreams where you go, it's so real, and you're going through this experience, and then you wake up, and it was just a dream. But boy, it was very real at the time when you were asleep and having this dream. And you remember it for a little bit. Maybe you remember it a little longer. But here's a situation where it wasn't a dream, it was reality. And when Peter came to himself, came to his senses, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord sent his angel to deliver me out of the hand of Herod." So Peter realized he had had a unique encounter with God. In verse 12 through verse 17, "And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate with gladness," or she was so excited to hear his voice, she forgot to open the gates, what it's saying. "She opened not the gate with gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said to her, 'Thou art mad.'" What a commentary on their prayer life. "But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then they said, 'It is his angel.'" Or maybe it would be better read, "It is his ghost." "But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. And he beckoned unto them with the hand to hold their peace." "Be quiet, I've got something to tell you. Will you quit talking? I've got something I want to let you know right now. It's more important than what you have to say to me." So he beckoned with them with his hand to hold their peace, and declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went to another place. So we see here, Peter learned that God's power was experienced in his purposes. There was a purpose behind the madness that Peter was going through at the time. It seemed like madness to Peter and everybody else that knew what was going on and was praying for him, because there was really no reason why Herod should arrest him, and everybody knew what Herod was planning to do, because he had already done it once. He was going to do it again. To make these Jewish people that hated the New Testament church happy, Herod was going to execute Peter. But Peter learned that God's power was experienced in God's purposes. And so we find here that he says to the people, as he makes them quit talking, he declared unto them, verse 17, how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." Go tell the leaders of the New Testament church what God has done. Because more than likely, these leaders of the New Testament church are trying to figure out how they're going to continue the ministry, filling the void that Peter is going to leave behind because he's going to be executed. And now there's some go back to tell these leaders, Peter's not dead. No, he's not dead yet, but he's going to be killed tomorrow. No, he's not dead. I just saw him. And he told me to come tell you. He's alive and well and out of prison. Now, how would you believe that kind of story if somebody came and told that to you? I'd have a little bit of a problem with that one. Sure he is. Mm-hmm. And what other things have you seen crawling on the wall? I mean, really, be honest here. But Peter said, go tell these leaders of the New Testament church so they can be encouraged. Why? Because there's persecution going on right now. The church has already been scattered in chapter 8 because of the harassment of Saul of Tarsus. And it's just been an amazing event up to this point. There's a lot of turmoil going on, if you may say that. Just a lot of events happening out of the control of the New Testament church. One of their leaders, one of their key spokesmen, arrested. Lord, why'd you do that? Why didn't you stop that? Well, because God wanted Peter to experience the prison of his power. And the only way he could ever experience it was to be locked up. And so now Peter has experienced the power of God through God's purposes. In verse 18 and 19, he went and departed into another place. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers. What was become of Peter? You think, well, didn't they see it happening? I guess they didn't. God could do that. He could blind them. He could put them in some kind of a trance so they don't understand what's going on. But now there's a scramble among these soldiers to try to figure out what's going on. And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death, which is customary. Prisoner gets away, then it's your life or theirs. And he went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. So at last, Peter experienced God's power in his protection. And it's all because of the prison experience. A, God created a diversion by disrupting Herod's leadership. This one who's in charge, in control, going to stop the church, going to make the Jews happy, going to kill all the leaders of the New Testament church, in one action by God that Herod was not even aware of, God stopped that. And Peter got to see that. And secondly, God protected Peter by moving on Herod to relocate. Had him move. Get him out of the area. So Peter can continue on doing what he was doing for the Lord. In conclusion, I believe, that's my opinion, that Peter must have reflected on this miraculous event. And by so doing, found the confidence and power he needed for the moment in his service for God. We find in the end of Peter's life, as we read the last books of Peter, 1st and 2nd Peter, this is not some weak, anemic, wishy-washy Christian writing those books. He's writing as a very mature, godly man. And I'm sure that he, in the ministry that he had, reflected back on this event in his life and probably drew great strength from that, great confidence in God because of what he's experienced in the prison of God's power. And the only way he could experience that with God was to be in prison. And I ask you, what have we learned from our time of experiencing the power of God in our personal life? What prison, if I may say, have you found in the past that you felt God had put you in? What did you learn from it? What did you see God doing? Can you draw back on that experience today? My wife and I had a financial prison on my last semester of school. All my school bills had to be paid before I could take my final exams and graduate. I didn't have the money. I didn't have it. And I was locked up in a financial prison. And I saw God miraculously provide down to the very dollar what I needed to go and pay my school bill. And I left work after having received a gift from someone. I said, I'll be back. And I went over on campus and paid my school bill about 15 minutes before the business office closed. That was on a Friday, and my exam started on Saturday. And I couldn't take them unless I paid my bill. And there have been other prisons that God has locked my wife and me in. And we've seen God miraculously work. And we've learned things about God that we couldn't have learned any other place except in prison. So the next time God locks you in a prison, ask Him what it is He wants you to learn about Him so that you can be a better servant for Him. From here, we see Peter blossoming as a minister of the gospel and moving forward in the power of God and becoming one of the main leaders in the New Testament church, all because he had been locked up in prison. Don't fight the prison experience. Let God lead you through it. Ask Him for the peace that only He can give you in that prison. And then rest in Him and watch Him work in your behalf. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. That's the kind of believers we want to be. Lord, I thank You for this experience that we can learn from Peter. I don't want to be locked up in a prison like that, Lord. But yet, as Peter looked on it, he wasn't there because of some sin in his life. He was there because he was preaching the gospel. And it wasn't popular with the Jews. It wasn't popular with Herod. And he, being a crowd pleaser and wanting to have the approval of the people he ruled over, did whatever he had to do to win that approval, even to the killing of some of the New Testament believers. But I thank You that You overruled him when it came to Peter, because You had a greater mission and ministry for Peter than to die in prison. But You allowed him to go into prison that he might be equipped once he left that prison and came to himself to realize that he had experienced a unique, miraculous time with God. So help us, Lord, to be careful how we react to adversity in our life. But help us to find out what it is You're trying to teach us, and may we be looking for Your almighty hand in that adversity. Be with us this week. Give us the strength we will need for whatever we have to face. May we rest in You and trust You. May we see You use us for the glory of God and as a witness to those that need to hear the gospel. And we'll thank You for what You do. In Jesus' name, amen.